I'm Nikia Louie, and you're listening to ABC Local Radio. So what will dating in 2016 actually look like? It's a question a friend and I got discussing the other day after talking about her newly single status and whether she was ready or even interested in putting herself back out there again on the dating field. Sometimes it feels like the world of dating is no longer quite the private affair it once was. Now we have people across the country putting up their hand for shows like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, Farmer Wants a Wife and Married at First Sight, just to name a few. Then there's the technology side of it, all the apps and websites with various databases of users offering instantaneous connections to people we may have never met. But for all that, does it actually make dating any easier? Linda Prescott is a dating expert and founder of a matchmaking service called Ideal Introductions. To get a better sense of what dating in 2016 might look like and how to navigate the waters, she's here with some answers and tips on dating in the new year and how to do it safely. Welcome, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, how does one become a matchmaker?
Well, I've been a matchmaker. This is my 24th year, and I sort of just fell into it because there is no actual training how to become one. So I think I was just in the right place at the right time, and, everything happens for a reason. So I've been doing it ever since I was 21.
And what is the right place and the right time in your story? Let's hear about you.
Well, I was working for a company for about 7 years, and I just sort of had itchy feet, I felt that I needed a change. And one of the gentlemen that worked with me, he knew a guy that was opening up an introduction agency in Brisbane, already had one in Sydney and Melbourne, and needed a people person. And so I went for the interview, and 2 weeks later I was a trainee matchmaker, and sort of the rest is history.
Or a love wizard, as I hear you like to call yourself.
Oh, you know what? I've never actually referred to myself as
that. Really?
But I have seen it in print. It always makes me laugh.
It's quite good that you can put magic on people and make them fall in love. So how do matchmaking services go about finding and connecting people? What's the process there?
Well, the thing is, with our agency, we're a personal matchmaking agency. So basically what that means is all of our clients have come in, they've met with us, they've gone through an interview process, so you know they're genuine. And I guess that the main thing that we want to make sure of before we take someone on as a client is we want to make sure that they've got realistic expectations of the type of person they're looking to meet, because quite often when the wish list is too big, it's just really because they're not ready yet. And we also make sure that they're in the right headspace for dating. So most of our clients have been single from a long-term partner, minimum 12 months, and then that way they can go in and meet someone new and, you know, have a clean start to a new relationship, rather than, you know, every reaction is a reaction because of what you've had in your past relationships.
And with that headspace, so you mentioned that being single for at least 12 months is one of your requirements. Is there a maximum end on that as well? So can someone be single for too long?
You know what? I think over 2 years, people start to get set in their ways, and especially in the older age groups. I mean, our eldest client, you know, earlier this year was 87, so we get a lot. I have clients that haven't dated for 10 years. They sort of, I don't know, something happens in their life and they realise, you know what, I'm looking for companionship. I don't want to be old alone. I want someone to share my life with. And then, you know, it might even be their kids that give them a bit of a prod along. Hey, Dad, you know, come on. You don't have to be alone. Let's do something about this. But I do get long-term singles, and quite often it's because they just don't know where to begin. And because dating is a technique, and it's hard out there because men especially, they're completely confused when it comes to dating. You know, they'll open a door for one lady, she thinks it's wonderful, the next one wants to bite his head off, so he's like, wow, well, that didn't work. And then he does nothing, and we hate it when they do nothing. So they're going, wow, it's too hard, I don't want to date.
So dating isn't necessarily like riding a bike.
No, not at all. And the thing is, women have very high expectations when it comes to dating. So, for a lady, it's not about how much the guy spends on her on a first date. But mind you, if he doesn't shout her that first date, chances are she will not have a second date with him because she'll think he's tight. But it's about the planning. Women want to feel like, even though a lot of ladies are quite independent, they want to feel that the guy that she's worth making an effort for. So a guy has to have a date planned so that when he gives her a call, he can say, you know, hi, Sally. Well, this is what happens with our agency. Hi, Sally. You know, Ideal gave me some brief details on you. You definitely sound like someone I'd like to meet. I was thinking that maybe we could have a wander around the markets at South Bank, and then there's this little restaurant on the river called such and such. We could, you know, have lunch there. When are you free? And then that lady, she's excited because she's like, oh my God, I don't have to make the decision. He didn't ask me what do you want to do? And so straight away, the whole build up to the date is a positive. So when she gets there, even if he's just an all right guy, he's straight away got lots of brownie points. Whereas if the guy's not organised, the lady has to plan the date, he's lost before he even starts.
So that's a tip for a good first date. Pretty simple plan put in place just to show that they're worth the effort.
Absolutely. You've got to have a game plan.
And are there any other good tips for a successful first date? So how do we manage expectations and communicate needs from the get-go?
Well, I think you have to be open-minded. I mean, to a lot of people look at the why nots. You know, they might go on a date and it's almost like they've got their little checklist and they're thinking, oh, well, he's not this or she's not that, she's not this. And that's just a negative outlook. You've got to look at people and look at the things that they do have. Look at the why twos rather than the why nots, because a lot of the why nots, it might be just because you don't know that person yet. So you've got to be open-minded to find love, because every time you say they've got to be this, got to be this, got to be this, it's a block, block, block. And how can you find love unless you're open?
That's a very good question. Now, speaking of finding love, in 2015, we saw a lot of dating apps become popular. Is that likely a trend to continue? Because technology has definitely affected the way people date.
Oh, absolutely. They're coming from everywhere. And the thing is, what happens when people first break up from a relationship? They're straight online. It used to be they were straight in a bar. Now they're straight online because they're isolated, they're lonely, they're looking for that quick, you know, attention. And so it is constant. There are going to be new, you know, there was the RSVP, there was the eHarmony that was meant to be the more upmarket one, then there's Elite Singles now, which is basically the people that aren't wanting to do RSVP anymore. You've got Tinder, which is probably more your younger, that initially was a little bit of a hookup site, but then what happened is the clients that were on the online dating services that were paying realised, wow, I can go to Tinder for free. So it's actually not just a hookup site anymore. It's also people that, you know, are looking for relationships. But I think the one thing that you have to be careful of with online dating is, like, we've done all the surveys, 20% of people are already in relationships, 20% aren't emotionally available, 20% are looking for sex, 20% are scammers, and 20% are really honest, genuine, emotionally available people. But considering there's so many people online, that 20% that are great, there's a lot of them, but you've just got to be careful about knowing which ones they are.
So what are some tips for sifting through all those people to get to the people in the 20% of being genuine and interested?
Well, I think when you start chatting to someone, you know, straight away ask them how long it was since their last serious relationship, because it's impossible to be ready if you haven't had time out after a long-term partner. You know, chat to them a few times. After you've, say, chatted three times, if they're not prepared to meet, they're probably in a relationship. So that's always a good one. Always meet in a public place. You know, ask them, I don't know, it's hard. I think the best thing is to let your friends know what you're doing and give yourself a time frame, because online dating does work for a lot of people, but I think it's like anything new that you do. You might say, right, I'm going to give something 3 months, because you can't just give it a month, and do something for 3 months. But if you find that you're feeling uncomfortable with it, then it's obviously not for you. But, you know, go out on a few dates, be open-minded, give people a chance, and, you know, just give it a bit of a go.
Now, you're a matchmaker. You founded a matchmaking service.
Yes.
With all of these dating apps and online dating and things like that, what advantages are there to using a matchmaker today? Why would someone go, okay, I'm going to use a matchmaker as opposed to downloading this free app?
Well, what happens is a healthy relationship is based on compatibility. And so what we do is when we get the people that come in for an interview, we ask them about their relationship history, you know, what's worked in the past and what hasn't. And then that way we can actually profile them of what's actually suitable to them and a partner, because a lot of people have failed or unhealthy relationships because the person just wasn't compatible. So if we can work out what's compatible to them, and I know compatible doesn't sound romantic, but it's logical, you can actually have the foundation for a lasting partnership. So, and obviously you have to have that bit of that connection, but I guess it's, you know, to meet the right person, one, you've got to be compatible, two, the timing's got to be right, and three, you've got to know how to date, because if you muck up that first date, no matter how compatible you are, you're not going to get a second chance. So what we do is we give the guys and girls both a manual on dating. It's your how-to guide, and because men and women are completely different, and the things that annoy women, men are just like, really? They just don't get it.
What are some of the things that annoy women?
Well, the number one thing that annoys a woman is a guy not phoning when he's meant to phone.
That is very annoying.
Yeah, because women are organised, we plan, we're sitting there, we're waiting for that call, and then when he's an hour late, really blasé, hi Mary, how are you going? She's fuming by then because she's put everything on hold. So then, you know, he finds her, she's a bit aggressive, you know, in her undertone, and then so the whole thing doesn't flow. So he's got to phone exactly when he's meant to, you know, maybe 5-10 minutes is fine, out, and he's got to have a date planned. He's absolutely got to give her a compliment when he sees her, because otherwise she gets really annoyed because he hasn't noticed the effort she's gone to. But, you know, not a soppy compliment. You know, hey, you look lovely. And that's all a lady needs. And on the date, the guy needs to ask her questions about herself, because then that shows that he's interested in getting to know her. And most guys don't. It's a man thing. They'll wait for the information to be offered. So, for example, on the ladies' dating advice, we've got on there that if the guy talks excessively about himself, doesn't ask her any questions about herself, and interrupts her stories to finish with his, that actually means he likes her.
Oh, okay. See, I would read that as that's pretty rude.
I know. That's how women would think. And then, you know, the lady would then turn around and go, well, there's no way I'm seeing that guy again. He's so rude. He knows nothing about me. And I guess that's where a matchmaker comes into it, because then I'd say to the lady, no, 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 that means he likes you. You've got to have a second date. Then I ring the guy. I go, what are you doing? Come on. You know in your manual you've got to ask her questions about herself and stop talking about yourself so much. She's like, oh, wow, did I really do that? And we're like, yep. And then we'll always do it in a positive way, though. And then he goes back on that second date, and he is a different guy. And then she looks at him and goes, wow, I actually like you. You're not completely conceited.
And so that's the, you know, the things that, you know, women find really annoying about men on dates or can't quite understand and connect with. What is it vice versa? So what are some things women might do that men don't understand?
These days you get so many independent, confident women that are very business savvy, and unfortunately what that sometimes evolves to is masculine energy. You know, we're used to doing things the way we want, when we want, because we assume that we can get them done better, quicker, and all that other stuff. So when a guy goes on a date with a woman, he needs her to be feminine. She needs to act like a lady. She needs to have a softness, because that makes him feel more masculine. And if he doesn't feel like a man, he's not going to want to date her again. But in saying that, she can still be very successful and very intelligent, but she has to have the softness. Otherwise, it's just not going to go anywhere.
But if you're only doing that for your first few dates, but by nature you're pretty, you know, I guess, and I'll use this term for lack of a better term, masculine.
Yeah.
What does that mean for the future of the relationship if it is to go any further?
Well, he won't stay with her. And that's why there's so many more single women out there, because we deal predominantly with semi-professional and professional people. And over the 50-plus, there's 37% more single women actively looking for relationships than men. Because in this day and age, there are so many successful business women out there. So for a long-term relationship, the lady has to have that feminine energy about her. You know, she can still be a bossy boots and, you know, all that sort of stuff as well. But if a guy doesn't feel needed, you know, then he'll turn around and he'll say, well, what does she need me for? If she can, you know, do everything herself and she's just, you know, get take control, and then he'll actually find a lady that does make him feel needed.
Now, with the language of dating, that seems to have changed over the last few years drastically. I know the term Netflix and chill became very popular this 2015. How do you navigate the language of dating? Are people more cutthroat or upfront about things they want or if things don't work out? What are some phrases that we should stay away from?
You know what? I think people are very cutthroat. I think in our day and age, we want everything yesterday. And we'll you know, whatever it is, we look at it, do we want it? No. Okay, next. And the thing is, we're not open to giving people a chance. We have a 3-date rule. And what happens is after you go out with somebody, you have to ask yourself 3 questions. Did I have a nice time? Are they someone my friends and family would like? And did I find them at least pleasant looking? If you get 3 yeses, you have a second date. Even if there wasn't any romantic connection, you have a second date. If you get the 3 yeses after the second date, still no romantic connection, you have a 3rd date, but you spend the whole day together. Because after that 3rd date, you're both very comfortable, the guards are down, you see it for what it is. You know, so at the end of the 3rd date, if, you know, there's nothing there, there probably never will be. But the amount of people that I see that go on a first date and go, wow, I had such a great time, but you know what, they're not someone I'd generally be attracted to or date, but you know what, I had a great time, so I'm going to, you know, give them a bit of a chance and have a 2nd or 3rd date. And then they ring me after the 2nd or 3rd date and go, oh my God, this person's amazing. And they're together. And then, but you know what, if some people have these wish lists and they go, they've got to be this, this and this, and then the person that they end up really happy with actually wasn't on that list, and the list was actually stopping them of finding somebody really suitable, but they've got to be open-minded.
So it's about being open-minded and giving people a chance.
Absolutely, because you know what, you'd want them to give you a chance too.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, you mentioned earlier a wander around the markets is a good idea for a first date. I'd never thought of that, and I thought that's really nice. Do you have any other ideas for first dates that people can take in the 2016 when they go and they ask that special someone that they've been interested in out on a first date?
I think definitely an activity date is good, and that doesn't mean you have to go rock climbing, but if you are an active person, do something that's a little bit different. Coffee's boring. Everyone knows a coffee is a quick exit date. So whether it's, you know, a walk around the botanical gardens and then, you know, maybe a light lunch, or, you know, walking through the local art gallery because it's topics of conversation, you know, you've got to do something that someone looks at that they wouldn't normally do themselves.
Interesting. So going to the gallery, going to the markets, what are some other ones?
For example, you know, going for a winery tour, you know, obviously drive. We have a 2-drink limit. Don't get drunk on the first date, otherwise you doubt your, you know, how you feel. But just, do something that's nice. I mean, I've even had clients that have, you know, they've gone for a hike along the beachfront or something. Just something that's relaxed. It's got to be something that makes you feel relaxed so that you can be more of yourself, so that person can see the true you.
Well, thank you very much for that, Linda. Those were some great tips and some very interesting information about dating in 2015 going into 2016. Thank you for joining us.
No problem.